The life that you've always wanted is about a relationship. Because what's true with the people in our lives is also true with God. It's about a relationship. Not to us, but to your name
be the glory. Yes! Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled The Life You've Always Wanted. Let's listen as J.P. gives us part one of A Relationship to Pursue.
It's all about relationships. At the end of our lives, we're not going to reflect back and say, boy, I wish I just worked more on my job, closed more deals. No. We're going to think about our relationships. Life is about relationships. The life that you've always wanted is about a relationship. Because what's true with the people in our lives is also true with God. It's about a relationship. And the life that we've always dreamed of, the life that we've prayed for, the life that we've longed for, is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's true for every one of us, wherever we might be in our own spiritual journey, because we're all on a journey, whether we realize it or not. And it's a journey created by God that's moving towards God. And what God desires for us more than anything else is that we know Him and experience Him in our lives, and that He becomes the source of our joy and fulfillment and purpose. It's the life that you've always wanted, and it's a relationship to pursue, you see. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, which is the passage I'm going to be landing on for most of this time together, he says this. This is the greatest Christian who ever lived next to Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. He says this in his own kind of words about his own life and reflection, Philippians 3, verse 7 to 14. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, which comes from the law, but that which is through faith, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, that I may be conformed to His death, in order that I too may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on, in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a statement. I mean, what a powerful statement that Paul gives us about knowing Christ and the value of knowing Christ and the pursuit of knowing Christ. The life you've always wanted, the life that right now you're hoping you can get some clarity about, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is a relationship to pursue. You see, the very language that Paul uses makes that so clear. Paul understood his audience. He used the language of the arena, the language of the athletic contest. I mean, if Paul was around today writing, he'd talk about football and baseball and basketball. He'd use illustrations from golf. He'd talk about the stuff that we all understand. And in Philippians 3, 12 to 14, when he says, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. That's a term coming right out of the race in the arena, the athletic race, where the athlete strained with all of his might and reached forward towards the tape to win the contest. Paul says this relationship with Jesus Christ ought to consume everything we have to give it, emotionally and intellectually and spiritually and physically. We ought to go after it because it's the life that we've always wanted. I think of that scene in the movie Chariots of Fire. Came out, you know, several years ago. It was talking about Eric Little, the real-life Olympic athlete who gave his life as a missionary in China. There's a scene in that movie where he's competing against the French, and he's just becoming popular as England's best runner and a shot at the Olympics. And the French runner kind of gives him the elbow and he falls down. And in the scene in the movie, as he falls down, it kind of goes into slow motion. And that score from the movie kind of kicks in, you know. And he gets up and he has this grimace on his face. He runs all the way up. He catches up with the pack. He passes his opponent and then just kind of falls over the finish line in victory. That's the very language and picture that Paul uses in Philippians chapter 3 to describe how we ought to pursue our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the life you've always wanted. And in the passage in Philippians 3, it tells us the kind of relationship God wants to give us and he wants us to pursue. And first of all, it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We are to pursue a personal relationship with Christ. Philippians 3, 7 and 8 says this, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." Paul says, I'm taking an accounting of all the assets that I have, and I'm looking to what's profitable. And when I line it up on the ledger, all that I have going for me, all of my assets, all the good stuff that I have, is nothing compared to Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ is better than anything I have to contribute to the equation. It's better than anything life has to offer. It's of surpassing value, knowing Jesus Christ. In fact, he compares it and he says, everything else that I could kind of place up there in comparison to knowing Christ is rubbish. The King James says manure. The Greek text, the language that the New Testament was written in, the Greek word is skubala. Now, skubala is a great word. Skubala, if we were to translate this into modern vernacular, skubala is a word that begins with S-H and ends in I-T. It's the stuff you wipe off your shoe and go, ugh, got some skubala, stepped right in it. Ugh. Literally, Paul says, let me just put it, bottom line it. Anything that you would compare to knowing Jesus Christ is just like skubala. It's nothing. It's rubbish. It's manure. It's the stuff you wipe off your shoe. It doesn't even compare. That's how valuable it is to know Jesus Christ. And he uses a very particular word here to describe this idea of knowing Christ. He could have described knowing Christ in theoretical terms, in theological terms. He would have used the word oida, which means to know something factually or know something because you studied it and got all the information down. But instead, he uses the word gnosko, which is a relational term. It means to know it personally, by experience, by entering into it. We are to know Jesus Christ personally. There is a huge difference between knowing about Christ and knowing Christ. A huge difference. The past 14 years, I've been teaching theology at Biola University. I give theology exams all the time. You could pass a theology exam. In fact, you could get an A on a theology exam. The theology of Jesus, who he is and what he did. Know all the facts and not really know Jesus personally. You know what God wants for you? You know what the life you've always wanted is? It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you're to pursue it. You're to go after it. One of the greatest days of my life was the day my son was born. Well, when each of my children were born, but it's so memorable because it was our first. We had been excited about having a child. It was our dream, our hope, our prayer. And when we found out we were pregnant, we were so thrilled. You know, and I'm just a dumb guy. I don't know anything about birth, pregnancy, what happens with a woman. And so we took the birth classes, Lamaze classes. And I love this stuff. I mean, I like studying stuff anyway, but this was like fascinating because I knew nothing about it. So when our Lamaze instructor gave us assignments, I mean, I read everything. And I came back with questions, and I was eager, and I interacted. I mean, I wanted to know exactly what was going on in my wife's body. I wanted to know exactly what was going to happen when the baby was going to be born. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, when my wife wakes me up and says, hey, my water just broke. Boy, I didn't go into panic mode because I had studied this, and I knew exactly what went on when that water broke. And I knew how much time we had to get to the hospital, and I understood the margin of time with respect to infection. So there was no panic. Got the bag together, said my wife, go ahead and take a shower. I got dressed, had everything down. We calmly drove to the hospital. We checked in. They did an evaluation of my wife. Think she was dilated like about 7 centimeters. No problem. Knew exactly what that was. Had a little board there with a hole there of 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters, 4 centimeters, 5 centimeters, 10 centimeters. You're right here, honey. Everything's good. Had my coaching hat on, my whistle, my little stopwatch. Okay, ready to go. Fully dilated. The doctor says, okay, you can start pushing. I mean, it was just happening exactly the way we studied. My wife starts pushing. Then the doctor says, all right, one more push and the baby's about to come. She pushes and my son's head just kind of comes out. And he looks over here and then he looks like this. And the doctor says, one more push. And then he was born. We've got a boy. We've got a boy. And the privilege of just taking that child and putting it on my wife's breast and experiencing the birth of that child, the awe of God's creation, and the fulfillment of all of our longing. Let me tell you, the experience was nothing like reading about it. Nothing. I had all the facts down. I'd read about it. But to personally experience the birth of my child, it will forever be etched upon my heart. Do you just know about Christ? Or have you personally experienced him? Are you personally walking in the joy of his forgiveness, in the freedom of the life that he gives? Does he walk with you through all of your struggles and feel your pain? Do you open up your heart to him? Is he real to you? You see, the life you've always wanted is a relationship, a personal relationship with Christ. And it's a relationship that we are to pursue. Paul goes on to describe, it's not only a personal relationship, it's a faith-based relationship. He says in verse 9, "And I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Paul's talking about being in a right relationship with God. That's what the term righteousness means, as it's used in this sense. To be in a right relationship with God, Paul contrasts two styles: law righteousness and faith righteousness. Now, law righteousness is trying to earn your relationship with God, trying to perform your way into acceptance with God, trying to keep all the rules, follow all the do's, don't do all the don'ts, try to come to a place where you earned it. Paul says, that's not the kind of righteousness I'm talking about. That's not the kind of relationship with God I'm talking about. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to be found in him right now. Not just something that happened for me in the past, but something right now that's by faith. That is a gift of God and is given on the basis of faith. Now, faith is believing that what God says is true, is true, and then acting upon it. That's what faith is. You know, a lot of people get very confused about the idea of faith. Faith is believing that what God says is true, and then acting upon it. It's like that story I'm sure you've heard before about, and it's true. Around the turn of the century, the circus troupe was in New York, and they went to Niagara Falls, and the tightrope walker set up a tightrope from one edge to the other, from the Canadian border to the U.S. border, and he gathered a crowd. The people began to hear about this guy who's going to walk across the tightrope at Niagara Falls. And he took, you know, the pole that he carries, and he has the tightrope in front of him. He makes a big fanfare of it and a big show of it. And he carefully walks across the tightrope to the other side. And there's huge cheering from the people over on the state side. And then he turns around and he carefully walks across. And everyone's all excited. And then he says, "How many of you think I can push a wheelbarrow across?" And there's a lot of enthusiasm from the crowd. Yeah, we just saw you walk across. We think you can. So he takes a wheelbarrow, and he does the same thing with a wheelbarrow. He pushes it across. And then they're cheering. And he turns around, and he pushes it back. And then there's huge cheering. Now he says, "How many of you think that if a person was in the wheelbarrow, I could push it across?" Now everybody in the crowd says, yeah, we believe it. He says, "Okay, who'd like to be the first in the wheelbarrow?" And nobody stepped up. You know what God says? Get in the wheelbarrow. That's what he says to us. And he says it to us at the moment that we come into a relationship with Christ, when we trust him to forgive our sins and come into our lives and be our Savior. He says, get in the wheelbarrow. Believe what I say is true and act upon it. He does it on a daily basis. Believe what I say about your marriage. Believe what I say about your finances. Believe what I say about raising your kids. Believe what I say about that temptation. Believe what I say is true and act upon it. That's faith. And Paul said, I want a relationship with God based on faith. The life that you've always wanted is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a relationship to pursue. It's a faith-based relationship, not based on law, not based on performance, not based on works, based on faith. Trusting in God, believing what he has to say is true, and then acting on that. Paul said, that's what I want. I want to be found in him in any given moment of time, living by faith. The relationship we're to pursue, it's a personal relationship, it's a faith-based relationship. Here's the third thing, it's a real relationship. Paul says this in Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I think I would have stopped with, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection, sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed with him in the likeness of his death. What's that all about? Paul wanted a real relationship with Christ, not a phony relationship, not a fake relationship, not a superficial relationship, not a religious relationship, but a real relationship, that encompassed all of life's emotions and all of life's experiences, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being conformed to his death. You know, the Bible's just very clear that there's some things that we only learn in life through suffering and pain and difficulty. There's an intimacy with God we only experience when we go through the school of hard knocks. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as he wrote to the Corinthians, he says, we have this treasure of a relation with God in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. So we always carry about in our body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal body. You know something I've observed in my reading of Scripture? I think it's true. There's something you have to have before you can have a resurrection. You know what you have to have before you can have a resurrection? A death. You want the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life? You want the resurrection love of Jesus Christ in your marriage? You want the resurrection hope of Jesus Christ about the future? Well, you got to die. You got to die. That's why Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. The life you've always wanted is a relationship. It's a real relationship. It's a real relationship. And we're to pursue it. We're to embrace it. We're to lean into it. We're to take the next step in the journey that God has for us. So some of us are going to have to tear up that contract that we have. So JP, what are you talking about? Well, maybe you've never done this, you know, actually. But in your mind, in your heart, you've made a contract with God. And it goes something like this. God, as long as everything is the way I want it, and you answer all my prayers, and bless my relationships, and provide for me financially, and I'm healthy, as long as you do all that, then I'll believe in you, and I'll serve you, and I'll obey you. You know what happens when you make that kind of contract with God? You get disappointed all the time. So you got to tear that up. My son made a contract with his sisters. I found this a couple years ago. I think he was 13 at the time. He was in middle school. This was on my daughter's desk. Terms of property use. If there are any attorneys out there, you got to get this guy, let me tell you. My son, I didn't know anything about it. He had written this out, given it to his sisters, copied it, and made them sign it. Under the authority of Mr. and Mrs. J.P. Jones, it has become necessary for middle school student and U.S. citizen Taylor Jones to create a new policy concerning the personal possessions and properties of Taylor Jones. The new policy will endeavor to keep all personal items of any sort strictly under the ownership of Taylor Jones. Kylie and Ashton Jones are under no circumstances, with the exception of emergency, as defined as an immediate physical danger, be allowed to obtain and or utilize the possessions of Taylor Jones without first seeking permission from Taylor Jones, in the event that Taylor Jones should be absent or distracted beyond a human level of conversation. Mr. and Mrs. J.P. Jones will either confirm or deny permission to use one or several of Taylor Jones's possessions. The following are additional terms and or regulations that are included in this policy. Prior to entering the room of Taylor Jones, one must knock and wait to obtain permission to enter. In the event that Taylor Jones is placed in a position in which he has been granted authority over Kylie and Ashton Jones, i.e. babysitting, full and absolute respect and obedience is required. When allowed use of one of Taylor Jones' PlayStation games, Kyle and Ashton Jones are obliged to place it back in its proper case upon completion of use, if given permission to obtain and or utilize, an unquestionable respect of that item is absolutely necessary. If Kylie and Ashton Jones agree to comply with this new policy, Taylor Jones will be obliged to decrease the amount and degree of verbal harassment he issues upon his sisters. However, upon repeated abuse of this policy without a reasonable excuse, a 50-cent toll will be charged for the use of Taylor Jones' property along with any other concerning matters. And then he had him sign it right down here, and it's her signature. It says, I, Kylie Jones, recognize all of the above terms and therefore agree to comply with them under all the above circumstances. She signed Kylie Jones. Please acknowledge the fact that any violation of this policy is prohibited. Violators will be persecuted, not prosecuted. Violators will be persecuted to the full extent of the Jones family legal code. He wrote that out and had him sign it. Now, here's the deal. He did that almost 3 years ago. And you know what? In the past 3 years, he's been disappointed many times. His expectations haven't been met. And neither have ours with God. If we have this contract mentality that somehow God is obliged to make our lives wonderful all the time and just move from answered prayer to spiritual victory to mountaintop experience to meaningful service, to positive relationships, to fruitful ministry, to answered prayer, to great abundant blessing, you know, we're going to be disappointed. That's not life. That's not the Christian life, nor is it just life. That's why Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. He wanted a real relationship with Christ. I think that's what you want too. I know it's what I want. A real relationship with Christ that's meaningful, that encompasses everything in life, all of the gamut of emotions, all the range of human experience, but that's real and meaningful with the confidence that Christ is with me no matter what I face. That's the life I've always wanted. It's the life you've always wanted. It's a real relationship, and we're to pursue it. Here's one last description of this relationship we're to pursue, this relationship with Christ. It's personal, and it's faith-based, and it's real, and it's life-changing. It's life-changing. Paul says this, Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. Having concluded that I want to know him and I want to be found righteous in him by faith and I want to know the power of his resurrection and even the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul aspired to experience the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. I don't think he's talking about heaven here. I don't think he's issuing any kind of certainty or longing as if he wasn't sure about heaven. Because he says a few verses further in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body into conformity with his resurrection glorified body. Paul had full confidence about heaven and full confidence about the resurrection he was going to experience in heaven. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about experiencing resurrection life right now. He's talking about the life-changing power of Jesus Christ right now. God is in the business of changing lives. When we come to a place in our spiritual journey, when we step over that line of faith and enter into a relationship with Christ, the Bible says we step out of darkness into the light. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. And I discovered with 30 years of being a follower of Christ, that wasn't something that just happened at the moment when I was saved and I came to know Christ. I enter into new life every day I walk with Christ. I've had the privilege of praying with and counseling and mentoring people who experience new life right now, new life in their marriage. Resurrection life in being free from their secrets and their sins. Resurrection life in terms of hope about the future. God changes lives right now. If you've come here this morning and you've come to a place where you realize there's something about your life that needs to change, life isn't all that you want it to be. There's a life you've always wanted. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ because you can know him and you can know him and you can know him some more. And he's in the business of changing lives and he can change your life right now.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. 0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment, but before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. Did you know that each one of us has a next step in our relationship with God? The reason is that every one of us is on a spiritual journey. And the most important step in that journey is the step over the line into a commitment with Jesus Christ. We take that step when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We follow Jesus when we ask him to come into our lives to be our Lord and Savior. If you'd like to take that next step in your relationship with God, then I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I ask you to come into my life, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you that you died on the cross for my sins, and thank you that you were raised from the dead. I believe in you, and I want to follow you. Amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives. The cross before.